sisters and brothers, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And how many righteous were found in Sodom and Gomorrah? We have Lot and Lot's wife and his two daughters who fled the city. And not even they were righteous, because after that, even more stuff happened. And what was going on in Sodom that the God should destroy it? Well, people have this common perception that it was one thing, based on the abuse that the men outside, the men and their sons and their fathers and their brothers, were going to heap upon the angels who were visiting. And so some say that this was the sin of sexual activity between men. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And we find it elsewhere in the Bible. And we find it elsewhere in Hebrew scripture what the sin of Sodom was. And it was the fact that they were unwelcoming. And it was the fact that they took it upon themselves to harm the visitors. And it's the fact that they did not treat the poor with justice. In fact, the prophet Ezekiel says in chapter 16, verse 9, "This was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy." And so Sodom and Gomorrah, as we are told in the early scripture, in the early book of Genesis, which is based on the traditions that the Hebrews had passed down from generation to generation to generation, that God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't call the sin of unaiding we don't call the act of not giving aid to the poor sodomy, but perhaps we should. And there's no word that comes from Gomorrah. I don't know. That just gets thrown out there. There's no Gomorrah-y or anything like that. And that's all that's going to be said about the sin of Sodom. But the fact was that there were unrighteous in the city. And the city was full of unrighteous people. And God wanted to destroy the unrighteous people. And God wanted to destroy the whole city. God told Abraham he was going to destroy the whole city, even if, you know, no matter who was there. And Abraham talked to God. And God was willing to negotiate. God was willing to say, "Oh, maybe I'm going to look at this. Maybe I'm going to take another look and find out whether what you have said is worth pursuing." Abraham spoke to God in prayer, we might say. Because in today's world, we don't have God standing over us, you know, talking, you know, telling us what to do all the time in actual activities. We don't have this great anthropomorphic entity who stands out there. I imagine that there's some people that actually either see God or believe they see God. I don't. I don't hear this great booming voice in the sky from above. I don't have visitations by glowing men. But I do pray, and I do hear, sometimes within my own conscience, sometimes within the activities that take place in the world around me, God answering me. And so when I read this passage from Genesis, it's one of the most oldest traditions of Hebrew scripture, I hear Abraham praying. And I hear God making a more informed decision based on that prayer. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't already know everything. But we who live on this earth know that evils still abound. And whether or not God lets them happen, which is an old, old philosophical debate on, well, if God was love and God was nothing was good, then why do bad things happen? Because God is omnipotent and God knows everything. Well, because God, in his great love for humankind, has given us free choice. But God has also given us the ability to call on God and ask God for God's favor. And God decides what's best based on what we ask Him. Prayers are answered. Now, needless to say, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't survive because there were absolutely no righteous left in those cities. But, you know, the age and time of God destroying things on earth is past. We live in a time where man is the biggest factor of things happening on earth and things being destroyed. But we can ask God for His protection. And prayer works, my sisters and brothers. And He has given that prayer, that power to talk to God anytime we need to talk to God and ask God whatever we need to ask of God anytime, day or night, because, and that applies to all of us, not just the small children of Israel, the small group of people living in Palestine, because Jesus came for the world. And Jesus came to rescue the entire world. And we have been given this great world as stewards because God loves us and because God believes in us. And God comes to us when we need Him. And God delivers us when we ask it of Him. And God has given us the good news that He lives in this world, that He is in this world, that we have a living God that acts in this world, even today. And that is, my sisters and brothers, good news. Amen.